Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others. Today we have a guest. Our guest today is James Milady. And James and I met on Venus Project Facebook group. James is also known as Jedi, which I'm going to start referring to him as Jedi. And so James' work can be found on Facebook and as well as Twitch and Instagram and YouTube. And I'll post all of those on the description below. So welcome to the show. So tell us about who you are and what brings you joy.
What brings me joy? I don't know. I don't want to go too pretentious into the question of who I am, you know.
Sure.
But I get you asking like my upbringing, I guess.
Well,
and to be honest, what brings me joy is, well, I don't know. It's a complicated question. I'm sorry.
We can come back to that.
Yeah, like, obviously, life. What drives me is I want to see social change. Well, basically, I suppose where I should start. I'm sorry, I'm lost. I'm going through because that question is like it's not like I know. Look, most people just answer it straight away without thinking about it, but that to me they're really, really big questions, like really deep philosophical questions. I can't just go into some, I haven't, you know, planned them questions,
right? But, understood. Actually, a lot of people when I ask that question, they don't answer straight away. I'll tell you why. I feel that I was in a group and they wanted to kick me out, but then the admin was like, no, because I like to basically get under the surface with either with words or questions, or like basically ask questions that people usually don't usually ask, like getting deep, let's say.
Yeah.
And so example, I don't know how it is in the UK, but in the US, people will say, how are you? And they keep walking away without caring to know how are you. So usually I don't answer. And then I've noticed I like to do studies. When I don't answer, you know what they do? They come back or they stay and they wait for me to have an answer. So subconsciously, they don't know they're doing that. But when I don't give, it's kind of like programming. When I don't give like the feedback of the program that society wants, and they go like, they come back and I'm like, oh, I'm glad you're back. So you want a real answer? And then we have this conversation. Of course, most people lie. They said, of course, when I ask, I really want to know it. I know that most people don't. And then we have that conversation and it becomes like, yeah, anyway. So I asked who people are because prior to being 25 years old, I did not know who I was. I was a robot. And I don't mind calling myself dumb because that's how I felt I was. I was a robot. I was dumb. I was existing. I was not living. And because I had a background of religious, I was Jehovah's Witness. And so, and when I started to know who I am, I know, as you mentioned with the word pretentious, it could be ego or it could be pretentious. However, I feel that in this life, in this tangible world, it could be. So what I've discovered is good to find an identity or So you can navigate in this life. Oh. I don't think it's necessary to have that, but it could work.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, like, when you just said that, define an identity, I suppose my identity, like you said, I said to you, I like to be called the Jedi. So as I'm thinking about it, that's what I've actually, I know it does sound a bit silly, like calling myself a Jedi, but I suppose I'd have to explain where I got that terminology from, like the ancient Egyptian Hermetic philosophy. I don't know how much you've gone into spirituality. So I know you said you were born Jehovah's Witness. I studied with Jehovah's Witnesses for about a year and a half, actually, and Mormons.
Oh, nice. Yeah, same. That's funny. You can tell, you're welcome to tell us more. Yeah, tell us about the Jedi identity. And before you get on that, to me, it's not silly at all, because you know what's silly to me? Making six figures and that's your identity.
Yeah.
And you come home, you don't love your wife, you're tired of your children, and you hate your life. You either gonna commit suicide or you have some disease and you hate life. That's a lot of people's identity. That's not my identity. And so, but I'm not shaming them.
So they don't really have an identity at all. Really, do they? They don't. Their identity is given to them from the TV. And that, I've done that as well. I chased like the ideas of what the TV says you should be like, what rap music said life should be like, you know, that the dreams. I thought gold, jewelry, money would bring me happiness. I chased all that, you know, but then, like, I did find it strange how I come across the Jedi stuff. Like, can I ask you, like, where, because you said you were a Jehovah's Witness. I take that's not your belief now anymore.
Not of 20 years.
20 years?
I left 20 years ago, yeah.
Okay. Can I ask, I know you better ask me.
Yeah, please ask,
Because that stuff really interests me about,
like, definitely. Religion, we can talk about anything.
So what
happened to you? Oh, by the way, before you say anything, you're looking away because I, in the beginning,
sorry. Am I looking at the camera now? It's because I'm looking at you. So I put it in front. Will that be better? Am I looking at you now?
Or just look at the camera. Don't look at me. I'm not, I'm not that important to look at. I'm just kidding.
That's what I liked about it. As soon as, well, obviously I seen your name was Zen. So I knew you were into meditation and stuff. My dog's called Zen, by the way. I don't know if that's a bit of an insult.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
So you're talking about being Jedi,
Yeah. Okay. So Yes. Well, let me just. I don't know where to start. Really, I'll start with. Okay. Well, I think the most significant event in my life, I suppose. There's obviously lots of things I could start. There's stuff I could go into, but I think a big thing that connects people like me and you. I don't know, but I suspect there's been some pain in your life, some suffering, probably a lost parent or something, you know, something like that, that maybe something that's raised your consciousness. I believe when I say raise your consciousness, like raised empathy, because you felt pain. And I think from that pain, we gain empathy for others because we understand their pain, you know, and some people haven't suffered, so they can't relate to that other suffering. And it was me. I lost my mother at 17 and I turned, like, I kind of liken my life to the story of Star Wars, Anakin Skywalker. When his mother died, he lost it and started lashing out at everything around him, which is kind of basically like what I did. I started, instead, like, my mum died, I didn't cry for years. I literally, because I started taking drugs, I was selling drugs, I started immersed myself in that, in hip-hop culture, drugs, money, girls, all that sort of stuff. And I never it's a good thing it's not live that you can edit this. Faced my emotions. I can't remember the right word, but I've just never basically faced my emotions.
Like feel them or experience them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I suppressed them. Basically, I suppressed my emotions for years through drugs. And it wasn't until I was 25 that I actually got off heroin. I ended up on heroin. It was all drugs. I started off pills, cocaine, obviously weed first, pills, cocaine, crack, and then heroin's it culminated in. I know the drugs in America are slightly different. A lot of people take meth. I know you've seen that video that I shared on Facebook of Philadelphia, these zombies walk around. I don't know. I think they're taking fentanyl, and I don't know what's going on in America right now.
I didn't finish that because I was getting so sad.
Yeah.
I live in New York.
45 minutes of it. It's like I've got 10 minutes in. I was like, yeah, that's enough. Yeah,
but I love watching this stuff though. Like, I think I'm definitely, it's on my playlist. I actually posted it on my, I have a Facebook group about, it's called Finding Prosperity, The Path of Prosperity. So I posted it there, and it's on my playlist to finish watching anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just, so drugs are everywhere. Everyone's doing, I know from experience that everything I talk about is, I believe, from experience. And then I've obviously studied stuff and took other people's experience and put it to mine, which adds weight to it and stuff. But everything I always talk about, it's always, I would never say anything as an opinion if I hadn't experienced it in one way or the other to some degree, right. You know? And that annoys me. You're smiling because I think you agree. That annoys, probably yes. Annoys you about people in society today. Everyone's got an opinion on everything,
right.
Even though they've never experienced it. It's someone else's opinion they're just regurgitating, which really frustrates me, you know?
Yeah.
So I lost track. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So I basically suppressed my feelings up until 25. Mm-hmm. And luckily, as people like Don Weir, there was social groups. I got into football coaching at the time. It was just stuff to keep me busy. Don't want to go into exactly how I got off drugs and that, but I then, it's because I made a fair bit of money selling drugs and that. So I basically semi-retired. I call it semi-retired. Well, I was definitely not making enough money for what normal people would call semi-retirement. You know, I come from a pretty poor background. Just a few £1,000 was enough for me to sit back and not do anything for a few years. So I just relaxed in the garden. I used to listen to hip hop all the time, but then I started listening to classical music, meditating in the garden. And when people would ask me like what I'm up to now, I'd always say, because when they ask what you're up to, I know what they really mean. What they really mean is, how are you making money?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? How are you making money?
I divert from that question. I bring them to the rabbit hole to confuse them.
And I'm not answering that. What I know what you really mean, I say, I'm just trying to reach enlightenment. I used to say that as a joke, as a flippant remark, like just because basically what I was doing at the time, all I was doing, this was my goal really, was just trying to be a better person. I wanted to be a better person because I was a drug dealer. And obviously with that comes violence and things, you know, collecting money. I embraced the dark side, you know, and I didn't like the person I'd become. I was a nice child and I was a nice boy. I believe like I was a kind hearted kid and I just somehow ended up in the dark side. So I just took from that time. So I inadvertently, I believed that enlightenment was something completely unobtainable, really. So when I'd say I'm trying to reach enlightenment, it was a joke, you know, something I didn't really think was ever truly possible. Like I thought it was something a Buddhist monk does after 20 years of meditation or something, right? And so I was just trying to be a better person. I was meditating. I was feeding the birds in the garden. I was just literally just trying to be a better person. I was asking the question why a lot. I was asking, why did I act like the way I did? How did I become such a bad person when I believed I was such a good person? And I started asking these questions and it led me to answers that got me to the Venus Project, the resource-based economy and stuff. Because if you ask why enough, you will get to, you end up capitalism, economics. And believe, I did go to school, but I had free art lessons a day because I weren't allowed in most of the classes, you know. So I'm not educated in that sense, but I started found myself studying economics and philosophy and all these sort of things. And sorry, I'm going on tangents. I don't know if it's the timelines. I'm trying to think, but I suppose I've already started now. I might as well finish like how I got to here. So I spent like 3 years in the garden, basically meditating, listening to classical music. I didn't really think there's any relevance of this towards enlightenment and that. And then, but I do feel a friend came right down one day and he started up mixed martial arts. And this was 3 years. I got a little bit bored of meditating, doing nothing in the garden. People would ask me, how can you sit around and do nothing all day? I'm like, how the fuck can you go to a shit job you hate all day? You know what I mean? Like, I don't get...
That's awesome.
So, obviously, when people say you're not doing, I'm not doing anything. I'm meditating. I'm reading.
You're a human being, not a human doing.
Yeah, exactly. I love, who was it? That Dave Chappelle thing. Have you seen the Dave Chappelle show recently?
The last one.
Yeah, the one that got loads of
The closure. Yeah.
About the transgender one, And his friend was his friend said, I love that quote. She just said, oh, you're back. Hello? Is there?
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah, I was gonna text you. Okay, you're back.
Is it my internet gone or yours?
Yours went out. I think because I checked my Wi-Fi. No, it's all right. You know, it's Zoom, it happens. I'm so used to it now. It's like part of the protocol. Oh, it froze again. Okay, you're back. It's all right.
We good.
Yeah. It happens.
Is it my internet? I don't know if it's mine. Is it mine? It's gone again. How could it?
My camera is off. No, it's just technology. That's what happens. I was watching your video. It was funny when you're talking about live and how things don't go.
Yeah. Right. Here we are. I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist. I do think sometimes the capitalists, they're after us.
Oh yeah, I believe the same with the camera. After a month, it stopped fucking around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, so after 30 days, you will need me to buy a new one? I don't think so. So I'm gonna fix my camera now. Zoom is on every big tech camera, okay.
Oh yeah, does my mic sound all right? Because I go through Streamlabs and I can adjust the mic settings. I don't know if the settings are the same or what.
No, it's great. I can see you awesomely and I can hear you great.
Good.
Technology has been my great teacher because we are taught to be polite. So when we get frustrated with somebody, we do our best to not blow up at them. And technology, we blow up at it because you're like, oh, you have no feelings. I can smash you and yell and whatever. And I was like, oh, what a great teacher. Because if you blow up at someone, at least you can get a feedback. You can fight them and you can feel an ego thing. But technology, it's like, there's none of that. So I was just like, oh, I'm just going to relax and stop being angry at it. So I've been... That's a good way to think of it.
I need to do that. That's a really good way. Because who are you getting angry at? You just shout at yourself. You're getting frustrated at yourself for being an idiot. but it's not. I blame myself for this. But it's not us, is it? Look, it's not again. This isn't like me being a technical idiot. Like I'm allowed. This is. I don't know what this is, but you're allowed to get annoyed when this happens.
I'm gonna switch to my computer camera.
Yeah, do that saying that his friend said, like, I never heard that before. I love the way she put it. I'm a human being having a human experience.
Yeah, totally.
And one of you asked me, like, to explain yourself or how you'd like to be portrayed. I was thinking, how do I like to be portrayed? Because it's different. Because I don't want to be portrayed as something that I can market and sell. That's not my goal. But in a sense, I guess it is because I like my message. But I'm no expert on resource-based comedy. I'll just tell people to go listen to Peter Joseph. He explains everything way better than I ever could, you know, on a deeper level, on an economic level anyway. But I just loved that. Like, I was thinking, obviously, I said a Jedi in the end, but because that's what I've chose. But I like, we're all human beings just having a human experience, you know. And I forgot how we got onto that. where I was. But yeah, I started fighting. I don't know how I got onto that bit. I forgot. But I took up mixed martial arts. But again, I feel like that was part of my journey. I don't. You've obviously hear this a lot on the internet. People say they're going through an awakening and stuff like this. And I believe like that happened. Like I was seeing the numbers 111 a lot. I was getting waken up at 3:33 in the morning. These sort of stuff that people talk about awakening, that all happened to me. But I think. I don't know. I don't think like I was chosen. I feel like this, everyone's given the option, you know, the universe speaks to everyone. Cause I believe like we're all one. And some people just listen to it and others don't or whatever. I don't know. Or maybe it was meant to be or us or whatever. Maybe there is deeper meanings, but regardless, I feel like doing mixed martial arts and all the things that go with that, the exercise, the diet, the humbleness, like I don't know if you've heard of jujitsu, and like basically jujitsu.
Heard of that.
Obviously, you're American, you know wrestling, like it's very popular and stuff. But in jujitsu and MMA, you're basically, people are beating you up. You go into a gym full of guys that are all way better than you. You spar with them daily. And when you're doing jiu-jitsu, there's a thing, like one of the most common chokes is a rear naked choke. And people, you get in, put in that position probably 10 times a day. And someone's basically choking you out. And they could kill you. Like literally, that your life is in their hands. And that feeling of being, your life being in someone's hands daily. And if you tap, if they ignore you tapping, like they can kill you. So that, like that has such a humbling effect on everybody that does mixed martial arts, or anybody that walks over that mat and starts wrestling or doing jiu-jitsu, or of anybody. And that humbled me in a way. Obviously, I got beat up a lot in the cage. I started fighting just after 2 weeks because I'm an idiot. I'm a bit of a attention seeker. Yeah. I would spend more time working out my walking, yeah, than I did like preparing for the fight. Like I was just doing it for the experience, really, not really so much to win. And like I say before, I was going through that stage of trying to be a better person. I've been meditating for 3 years in the garden. And then suddenly I've gone from meditating, listening to classical music, to fighting in the cage. Like they don't really coincide. And I didn't really have any desire to hurt these people. Most of the time, I'm 38 now. When I was fighting, I started fighting at 28. And most of them are way younger than me. And I could see the fear in them. They'd come up into the middle, they'd touch gloves, and they'd be shaking. There'd be a young guy shaking. I could see the fear in them. I'm thinking, I don't want to hurt this guy. Like, but I'm here now. Like, I've got to do it. So it's weird. I'd go through the things, but I never really had any intent of hurting anybody in there. And I didn't have this drive to really even win. I just did it for the experience, to get some cool photos. Like, I don't know, it's strange. But obviously getting beat up a lot, getting pounded, getting choked out, all these things. I actually soiled myself in the cage once, which was bad. I wanted this title so much. And the guy, I was actually better than the guy. I wanted it so much. I went through, he got me in a choke. And instead of doing the right move to get out of it, I tried to use my strength and I ended up soiling my pads. And I was like half choked out, like couldn't really see, blacking out. I've pooed myself. I could feel my shorts are filled up. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I just wanted the world to swallow me up. Yeah. Imagine that. Like, so I've come round, I'm thinking that everyone could see this puddle of shit on me. It was just like the worst experience of my life. I know, I'm sorry, it's disgusting. But
no,
like, obviously that's an extreme. That's an extreme humbling experience. But you don't need to do that. The whole thing was humbling anyway. Yeah. So luckily it didn't leave my shorts anyway. I had boxers on. I managed to get out. It wasn't so bad. But I cried like a baby though after that. I cried like an absolute baby. Like I haven't cried since I don't know how long. I cried like a baby because I wanted that title so much. I knew I should have had it and I blew it. It wasn't really about soiling myself so much. But yeah, so that basically, I believe that was a big part of my experience. I'm sorry I go on. I'm not dragging this on. But
no, don't worry about it.
So these are relevant events basically that I'm trying to say in my life.
Yeah.
And things that I think happened for a reason maybe, or led to me to become, to be able to get to the realization I did eventually. And just out of nowhere, yeah, completely nowhere, out of the blue, my friend come round. This is the next significant event, I believe. My friend come round and offered me DMT. I don't know if you've heard of DMT. So
I was going to ask you what it is, because when you mentioned it on the text. You
never heard of it? Oh, well, it's actually...
I heard of it, but I don't know what that does stand for.
It stands for dimethyltryptamine, which is actually a chemical that's produced in our brain. So when you go to sleep, your brain's said to produce DMT, which allows you to enter the sleeping realm or whatever. And they believe that upon death, the moment of death, the brain's flooded with DMT. And we experience the same type of experience you do when you take DMT. If you've never heard of it before, I recommend, the first thing I think I ever saw was the spirit molecule. And Terence McKenna is a thing. Well, actually, the first thing I ever seen was my friend bring it around to me. Like I never heard of it until he brought it around to me. Yeah. So I just want to explain that first. Like, because I believe that was relevant as well. And I hold too much weight in my experience because I hadn't heard of DMT or anybody else's experience on it before. Apart from there was two videos he showed me. He come around and basically I told you I was a drug addict before and smoked heroin. So, and my friend Dean, he's not a drug addict. He's not a drug taker. Like he's not. So it's not, I knew it wasn't like a drug like that, but it was strange him coming. He was into meditation and stuff like that as well. He knew I was into meditation, exercise and clean living, all these sort of things. So I thought it was strange. Like when he said, I've got this drug DMT, I was just like, what? No, are you mad? I can't take any drugs. Like I can't take any class A drugs, try avoid alcohol and stuff because I don't want to relapse or go back to it. I know how dangerous they are. Yeah. So I was like, no. But then he showed me this video of Joe Rogan. And obviously I respect Joe Rogan because I'm a mixed martial artist. So I know he does mixed martial arts, does his podcast. I know he's into clean living and stuff. And so he's like, Joe Rogan advocates it. I was like, what? Joe Rogan advocates taking drugs. This don't make any sense. he showed me this video. And it was just Joe's explaining that it's not addictive. And he's saying these things, describing it. And I was like, whoa, this sounds crazy. And he showed me this other video of Terence McKenna. And he just described one little description he gives. He says, you take this and you can communicate with alien entities. And another thing I haven't mentioned this yet as well, another thing I've always been obsessed with, and I've seen lots of UFOs as well. I don't think I mentioned that thing. I have had a lot of UFO sightings and stuff, and I've always been slightly obsessed, had a mild obsession with aliens and UFO technology and stuff like that, especially after seeing them, some UFOs once. But I heard this that you can communicate with aliens. So I was just like, wow, this sounds amazing. It sounds safe. The way Joe Rogan described it, it's not an addictive drug. It's impossible to get addicted. You can meet aliens. I was like, whoa, I'm sold. Like, I'm up for this. Like, but he never mentioned anything about consciousness rising or spirituality or any of that. I'd had none of them ideas, perceived ideas in my head. I was literally taking this in the idea that I could communicate with aliens. And basically, a year later of taking this nearly every single day, like, and it's so hard to explain. It sounds like I might have been addicted to it, but I was only addicted to the knowledge that I was being given inside. I was going to other realms of consciousness inside my brain and meeting entities. And I didn't realize they were entities, but there was like a female spirit that used to take control of me, relax me and lay me down and show me like the inner workings of the universe. And before long, it took like a year, but before I started getting shown, I was coming back and I kept saying we're all one. Like I had this deep understanding, integral understanding and workings of the universe, and I knew that we're all one. And then it culminated in what I believe what people call, and I don't mind saying, I only say this, I could show you a video sometime of where I got this from, but it was some physicist that described it. I didn't describe it as enlightenment ever. Like, because like I said to you before, I thought spiritual enlightenment was unobtainable by somebody, yeah, like me. But I had this experience and I was shown that we're all one. So I was telling everyone I knew that we're all one, yeah. Like we're all one unified field of consciousness, experiencing itself as every separate things, yeah. But then I had an experience where I basically died, which some people call it ego death, enlightenment. But at the time I just said, I didn't even call it ego death. I just said I become God. These are the only words I had to describe what my experience was. And I was like, I come back and I basically just said, I'm God. We're all God. We're all one. Like, and I was going around for months, like literally sitting next to homeless people, hugging them. And I knew, like I was telling them that you're me, I'm you. We're all one. I kept saying that to everybody. People, like, it must've been like a bit of like, obviously, but that's the thing I learned the hard way as well. I learned the hard way. You can't just tell somebody you're all one and then believe it. Like, this is stuff you have to experience. But it didn't stop me trying. Everyone I see, I kept trying. I kept saying, we're all one. Like, you're me and I'm you. Like, some people would say, yeah, I know. And people would be like, yeah, right, James, you fucking weirdo. What are you on now? You know? And this went on for a while. And basically, yeah, so that's basically like my story. And then now, and it's been like, that was 7 years ago that happened. And now like, I basically just try and share Like, I want people to experience what I believe I experienced was actually enlightenment. The same thing. Since then, I studied that Buddhists describe what I described as the same thing. Ancient Egyptian philosophy, that's what I was meant to start, that's what I was meant to explain. They describe the same thing, the rising of the Kundalini serpent up the 33 vertebra of the spine. Like, everything in the Bible, it's the same, the Jesus Christ rising. And I found out Freemasonry, they describe the same thing. It all ties in from what I experienced. And I believe that people can experience that through taking DMT, meditation, psychedelics, or whatever. And but obviously then that ties into resource-based economy. I feel like I'm ranting on that. I'm sorry.
No, you're perfect. Everything's perfect. Don't worry about it. I'm listening and I'm
talking too much.
I totally, Haikal, what's that word called? I feel you, because a lot of times, actually yesterday, when I gain some self-awareness, I do some mantra. And I had to tell myself yesterday, I need to calm down. I need to speak lower, because I tend to scream.
And yeah, I get carried away.
Yeah, but it's passion. It's not.
I know. I wish I could control that. I wish I could say what I want to say with, because it's like being. It's kind of like being a teenager, isn't it? Like, kids, they don't say it. I'm a bit like that. I'm living inside my mind so much that I don't, because I never get to really talk about this stuff. Well, I do, that's why I do streams and stuff myself, but I don't know. And then when you do get the opportunity to talk about it, I want to get it all out and try and say, and it just all rushes and I can't help it. And I felt myself rushing then. I know.
Don't feel bad about it, because I can totally feel you, because I can see the similarities, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like I was feeling bad, and you're probably feeling bad, because people, they either want to rush the conversation or they don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So therefore, they're telling you talk too much.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to make you feel bad about it without accepting who you are. But I feel like we speak similar language, so I get you. And when you're speaking, I'm actually listening, and I'm very interested. So don't worry about it, because I'm genuinely interested.
Yeah, good. Well, I know if I'm going off though, don't feel like you can't just say bring it down or whatever, you know, because I could tell straight away the second I seen your face. Like I said, you make me smile. I could see, I don't know, like it's use the terms, I don't know, maybe we're cut from the same cloth, like a lot of people say that. I could just see you in me anyway. Obviously we're all one, I see everyone in me, but I could see your eyes. We look like the same kind of, we do even look like each other. Like I say, like the shape faces and stuff.
Yeah,
I know you're a bit darker than that. But,
am I? Let me see.
Only just though. I don't consider myself white. I don't, maybe... Do you consider, maybe let's have a conversation about that, and we can come back to the other stuff. You can ask me more questions.
Sure,
about
we can talk about anything.
Because I was looking at my Facebook the other day, and I did some Black Lives Matter podcasts, and they've been deleted. And there were some things I said on
someone else's platform.
No, I on Facebook, I did a podcast with just a couple of my friends here about Black Lives Matter. And I looked today, I looked the other day, because you said, could you show me some videos? And I thought, what could I show? And I looked at my videos and I'm like, oh, they're all terrible. There's nothing I actually want to share here. And I thought, maybe I could find something down the bottom. I looked and then I noticed they're all gone. So I was like, well,
yeah, Facebook killed them.
They didn't even send me any notifications to tell me why, or they're deleting them. I was like, well, that's not good.
But you know what happened is, in order for them to do that, they needed a scapegoat. Well, you know history, and you're a conspiracy theorist, and as I am, and it's not even conspiracy, it's the truth, because our third eye is opening. Mine is not open all the way, but it's opening, and I don't know about yours. They had to cut down someone, the most hated man in the world, first, in order to do it to the little people. Because if they do it to the little people like you and me, there's many of us, we're going to complain and it's going to be a big thing. But they had to cut down someone hated. Yeah. And then they can be like, well, if they can do it to in that person, President Trump, then they can do it to you without even telling you.
J.K. So, Rowling as well as being scapegoated, isn't she?
Yeah, exactly.
That ties into the same thing. Yeah.
And then they'll call, and I'm sure you've been called conspiracy theorists as a shame thing, but now I take it proudly. And if you don't like it, you can keep walking. Yeah. I will not allow anyone to shame me. If I'm going to do that to myself, I'm going to do it, not you.
Yeah. Only God can judge us.
Exactly.
And we are God, so.
Yes, yes. Totally understand.
Because I was going to say, I said about a bit of darker. That's why I started thinking about it.
Right.
Because I didn't want to call you black. Because I don't believe, I think that's a dangerous path we've all been led down, you know? Because I actually get offended, you know? But I don't like being called white. I feel like, I'm like, for a start, I ain't white. Like, I put a lot of time in, whenever the sun's out, I put a lot of time in trying to get a tan. Like, and I don't like being pasty and white, you know? I just don't like being labeled and pigeonholed. I don't want to be judged for all the shit that white man has done, for a start. Like, I hate being, like, because there is a big, like, I believe there's a thing called, I'm calling it the great white guilt going on right now.
Oh, yes. Probably maybe in the last maybe 5 years or so. I don't know about
in England. I know it's the same in America, but 80 men a day take their own lives. 80 men a day. And they're all white men, not women, not black men, all whitey. 80 white men a day take their own life. 400.
Is that a term? I like it. It's cute. You know, I feel like if we hung out, we'll have so much fun.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah, anyway, so yeah, 80 guys take their lives. Like, do they know why or what happens?
Well, this is what obviously I believe. I don't believe I know why, but I think most of it comes down, I can take it most of it all back to capitalism. I don't know, the numbers in America are obviously, they're really high too. I know it's like 1.5 million. But the thing is, these numbers surpass COVID numbers. You know, we've locked down the whole...
No one cares about it.
The whole planet, yeah? Mm-hmm. But yet the system, capitalism, the material pressures that men face in this country and all the West, they can't live up to, they can't... It's not even so much getting a job in that. It's just because we've been fed all these ideas, especially in England. Obviously in America, you've got basketball, American football and stuff. In England, it's soccer, yeah? And most kids, poor kids like myself, grow up. And I was good. I'm good at all sports. I played hockey. I played America, actually, rink hockey, roller hockey in America. I played for England. Like, I'm good at all sports. I've done stuff like that. And so I suffered from depression like that as well. I believed I did sort of fulfill my dream as a mixed martial artist. I did become a professional sportsman. So in a way, I did fulfill my dream. But obviously, everyone in Britain, young kids, they all have these dreams of becoming billionaire soccer stars. And everyone, you ask any kid in schools, years ago, it used to be in the 50s, 60s and that, you ask a kid what they want to be when they grow up, they'd say, I want to be a nurse, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a teacher, I want to be a policeman.
Something productive for society.
You know what they're going to say now, don't you? You know what they say now. Like, yeah. I want to be a singer, I want to be a superstar, I want to be a rapper. Influencer. Yeah, Instagram influencer, yeah. That's what they call them now, influencers, isn't it? I want to be an influencer. They actually say that. I've seen interviews. They say, I just want to be an influencer. In a sense, though, that's kind of what I want to be. I want to influence the way people think, but not in that sense of an influence.
Not in a destructive way, at least. Yeah.
But I've lost what I was saying again now.
Yeah, so you're talking about skin color and why. So tell us why you don't like the term white or pasty or pale. But you're talking about pigeonhole, but is it because of...
It divides, obviously, it's massive divide. Yeah, well, it divides us all, you know. Obviously, it divides us. And it's not so much about me. It's more about people that consider themselves black. And because black has been used as a lower term. Like, black is like a derogatory, like I see, is it basically... Because then, like I say, I don't want to be pigeonholed with all the white supremacy, all the white wars and stuff. And in the same way, you shouldn't be, black people will be labeled with all the ghetto and the gun crime and all the things that we're portrayed, because that is how black culture is portrayed throughout the world. Like, all I ever seen of black culture, like my tattoos, I've got a gold tooth for that. That's all because of American rap culture. I started selling crack and shit because of America, like literally because I heard about it. They told me on the rap songs, that's how they make shitloads of money. And you're not a real gangster unless you're selling crack and hustling for real. And I was like, all right, then, like, I can't fucking do it. You know, like, that's how easy and stupid it is. And people are.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously you can go into so many levels of it, but obviously it's just main thing is divide, and then it justifies so many things. I was willing to go along with the Black Lives Matter idea for a bit because I was testing these people. Yeah. Say, oh, you really care about Black lives, do you? Let's see how much thought you're willing to put into this. Do you care about Black lives, or do you just want some Black people to have more money? Because I think that's all we really come down to at the end of the day. There's some people wanted some more money, you know. Uh-huh. They weren't really willing to look into the big picture of why Black people are suppressed, why Black people are poorer than white people, how it got to that situation and how to change that situation. And what I noticed as well, that Black people were most, they call themselves, obviously some Black people wanted to be called Black people in England too, but it's mainly about American Black people. When I started, I was like, oh, so you care about Black people, yeah? So like America enslaving and stealing all the resources from Africa. Yeah. What about that? What about all your African brothers and sisters that are literally dying of starvation now? So you can have your 50-inch TV and your McDonald's and Burger King, you know, like literally Black Americans are living off the back of Black slavery in Africa that goes on right now. Like right. Child slavery is going on. Like, oh, we're all slaves, economic slaves. But to a serious degree, they're cheap children in shoes and flip-flops, mining gold and diamonds and all this sort of shit, you know? But they weren't, they didn't seem to be interested in that. The people, they weren't really interested in that, going to the deep crux of it. You know, at the end of the day, I don't really know what they wanted. I couldn't get to the crust of it. I was like, yep. So yeah, what do you want then? Like, how are you going to change this? And they were just, I don't know what they wanted. I don't know, really. We never managed to get to the end of it.
People love to complain and say, I'm complaining, look at me, I'm complaining. Yeah. Anyone could, that's, again, with that group, that's why when people complain, I say, oh, that's nice, you know all of that, or that's nice, you think this person should do this, that person should do this, what have you done? It's usually mm-hmm. silence. And what yeah. they do is they respond with, that's when they, when anyone loses an argument, they start punching under the belt. That's when there's name calling. And that's where I'm a Trump supporter. I'm a Trump lover. I've been called that so much.
That's cognitive dissonance. When they come back with an insult straight away, it's because what you've said and the question you've asked them, the answer they give contradicts their belief and they know it. So they can't yes. answer it. So they get angry and the shield comes up, what they call in psychology cognitive dissonance. And they right. start calling you names. And then you just got to walk away then, isn't it? You can't. There's no point.
I don't bother anymore, definitely, because yeah. I'm not one with fight. One thing in my personal life, even with lovers, I do not argue. If yeah. you say your bit, yeah. you say whatever you say, I respect it. And if we disagree on a subject, let's agree to disagree like they say and live our lives. Yeah. And if it's that deep, we can separate. I will yeah. not force anyone to do anything that I want or believe.
Have you
mantra? Sure, no. Mantra, but I want to say, philosophy. Yeah, I can't think of the word, but yeah, I don't control nobody.
I know, yeah.
But a lot of people, I don't know if you notice in your history, like people love to be controlled. And if you don't, they feel like you're not invested.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say the same thing in relationships. I was going to say, that's what I found. Like my missus we went through it. Like we've been together a long time now. We've got our son's nearly 18, but it has not been easy. Yeah.
What?
I'm 38 and I had my first child at 21.
Okay. Cause what guys, remember when you were saying you have a son, I thought maybe 6 years old. Wow. Yeah,
so I had a son at 21. I'm 38 now. And he's 17.
Wow.
But like the same thing, what you said though about the arguments and that, like I feel like because my missus, she'd start arguments for like nothing. And I, because I'm into psychology and that, and I worked out, and it's like they want you to argue. Like if you don't get angry back, if you don't, like you just said though, they think you're not invested. And it gets draining. And I just give up, like in the end. I thought, I'm not gonna, I know you want me to feel like, but like it went through a stage, like I felt like she didn't think I cared anymore because I weren't willing to argue about shit anymore, you know? Like I'll just let her, like whatever. But it's not like that. It's just funny. I like the way you said that because I don't think many people.
Yeah, I'm a problem solver. And I have housemates. I've been living for 8 years and there's like 4 rooms there, including me, like 5. So usually when people go on a rant, I let people sit a bit until they're tired and I ask them a question. What is the goal of us getting together? And then after they answer, and then depending, because sometimes people just, as I mentioned earlier, like people, I'll use words on some questions that make people go so deep they get confused because it's not the norm. And then they get confused by that question because it's not something you do in argument. And I would ask them a third question or second question would be, what's the purpose? Do you want to fix this problem we're having? Or do you want to vent at me and you want someone to listen to? Because usually that's what it is. If you're arguing and blah, 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 and you're not wanting someone to respond, you want to vent. Or if you want a collaboration, you want it to be fixed. So I just want to know where I'm at before I invest my time. If you want to vent, I'll be there.
And that annoy people though sometimes. Like,
oh yes.
Like, they're like, why you know, like just shut up. Like they just want you to go along with the facade of it. Just play the fucking bullshit game with me, please.
Like, I will not.
No, I'm not playing. That's what people think I'm a weirdo though. People do, because I am, obviously you've, and it sounds like you go through the same things, but you've worked out these tactics of being, I'm still at the stage of letting people think I'm a cunt. You know what I mean?
Like, oh my God, same. I was telling a guest, I was just like, he was like reading me and he says, how you not disagreeing with me? Because when he find out something else, and I'm like, I tend to let people believe whatever they want to believe about me because you could ask, but you just have your opinion. So I'll let you because Eminem says, I don't know if you're a fan, I'm a big fan. He says, I am whatever you say I am. Yeah, if I wasn't, you wouldn't say
I'm not
I
a great fan, but I do really appreciate them lyrics. They are.
Yes.
Deep.
Yes.
You can't. I have even found myself saying that. And I was like, oh my God, just repeating Eminem. For fuck's sake. Like, damn it. But they're good. They are good lyrics. You can't deny it. Yeah, it's got some good lyrics. Yeah.
Yeah. So but, when it comes to that skin color thing, my identity, when people ask me what my identity is, or people don't usually ask, but usually there's that thing. It's probably the same with England. Since like most countries are emulating United States, there's this thing about pronouns now and identity, which is a huge thing. And funny thing is, a lot of these people who love to be asked for their identity, and they get so offended when someone get it wrong. When you live in fear, you're going to be what you fear. What they do is when they approach me, they approach me as Black. That is not my identity. They approach me as gay. That is not my identity. Mm-hmm. And they approach me as an immigrant. That is not my identity. Those things are part of me. Like I have an ear, I have earrings, or I speak funny. That's part of me. That's part of my history, but that's not what I identify as. I do not walk in this world as an immigrant, Black, gay male or whatever.
Yeah. Good.
And all my life I've called myself the Son of God. That's what I identify as.
Yeah.
I'm a spirit occupying a body. I'm the Son of God. And when I've told a few that, they get confused or they call it blasphemy. And they're like, oh, you're crazy or a weirdo. And a lot of times I don't even tell people those things because you can tell, at least for me, I don't know about you, but in the first 2 to 5 or 10 minutes talking to somebody, you can tell, like, it can be presumptuous, it can be ego, but a lot of times you can tell where that conversation is going to lead to or who that person is or what they believe, et cetera, based on who they talk about or what they say in the language. Because even we didn't speak until today, but as you're writing, I could feel that we speak similar language already. Like I could feel it. And as we're talking is there. And then you even mentioned it yourself. So it's like, and those things are signs. Those things are psychology. And I, funny thing is, I'm not part of the LGBTQ community because I'm such a weirdo. And if you don't go along with
that, you're the only one that's not a weirdo. We need more people like you. Like everyone needs to think like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about my youngest son, actually, he declared that he's bisexual. And he obviously, he was going through this. I don't know if he's actually true because there's a lot of pressures now in society.
Yeah.
Like a lot of things going around at school. There's a lot of people that saying they're gay. So I don't know things, but he was going through some depression. I could see it. I could see there's something wrong with him. And he come out of it finally. He's crying and that. He's saying, and he said he's bisexual, care like boys and girls. And I was like finally I don't care. Like he's all upset thinking I was going to be upset and stuff, and it was emotional. I was like, I love you regardless, no matter what. Like it doesn't matter if you're gay, bi or anything. That's got nothing to do with who you are. Your sexuality means nothing. Like it's got nothing to do with anything. Like
it's something you do like to 5 to 1 hour. It's like, you know, it's like nothing else. Yeah.
So I was like, but obviously it's big to him, you know, and I could tell he was thinking about it a lot. And I just said to him, like, you're way too young to be thinking about this. Like, you've not even finished puberty yet. Like, please don't even think about any of this yet. You'll figure it out. Like, when you get a bit older, don't worry about it. Don't stress yourself out. Just know that I love you and stuff. And, so I started thinking about, obviously, the gay community and all these sort of things. And I was worried, like, that there is pressures, like, people labeling themselves as gay. And there is, like, I feel there was, like a fashion aspect of it. Like, it's almost trendy, you know?
Yep.
And it's being fed. And every girl wants to have a gay boyfriend, friend, and all these sorts of things. You know, like people acting gay just to be like, it's strange stuff going on, you know.
And yeah,
it affects people mentally, psychology, not knowing whether they're a man or a woman. This messes up the society like dangerously, you know. And it's fine, everyone can all have their sexual preferences and that, but like you know this, I don't need to say this to you, you know, but everyone needs to think like you. It's just part of you, you know. It's nothing, you're still just a human being. You know, and like the color thing, and these things are asked now though on job interviews and stuff like that. They ask if you're gay. I remember this years ago when I was.
Oh my god, in England too?
Yeah.
When
I was 19, when I was 19, what, 20 years ago, they're asking my ethnicity thing, sexuality, ethnicity, all these things. I'm like, I always just put NA. What the fuck does it matter what religion is? I used to put Jedi and stuff as a jet. Do you know Jedi is considered one of the or second biggest religions in the world because so many jokers like me just put Jedi in them things instead of putting Christianity or whatever. But I was christened as a kid, but I don't consider myself Christian. But again, like them labels and that. I tie this all in. I don't sound like a conspiracy because it's not a conspiracy, but I believe that. Well, actually, I don't believe it's not a conspiracy, but the labels and that, maybe it did come out of a good place, you know, because the justification for having race and ethnicity and stuff on job applications in England and sexual preference is because people worried that there was discrimination going against black people and gay people. So they wanted, so what they do now is they actually employ gay people and the terminology, fucking what they use now.
We speak the same language, so it doesn't matter with me.
Yeah, whatever, you know. Like,
You know, so, what I tell these people, if you're so much into that emotion and not your spirit that you should align with, I mean, I don't want to say fuck you, but fuck you. Like, really.
Yeah.
Like, get over it. So, anyway.
But that's where it comes from. So I don't know if it is actually divide and conquer. Like, maybe it does come from convoluted way of trying to be nice. But at the end of the day, really, obviously, that stuff shouldn't matter. And I know, and maybe black people do feel marginalized. But the thing at the end of the day is there's probably less black people in these jobs and certain things than that. Because of the economic system, the stuff that Peter Joseph explains, the stuff like why poor people are where they are now, You know, it all has a knock-on effect. And it's not because like companies are racist and not hiring black people. It's because they're actually not as good at the job as other the white people that have had a better education and a better life of experience to be able to do that job, you know. Mm-hmm. But now we've got, it's gone the other way. So like, it's kind of strange. That's why I call it the Great White Depression as well. So people that are qualified are getting turned away for jobs just because someone's black and like, or someone's gay. So being black and gay is like the double. What do you go for any job in the world and get it? You know what I mean? Just because you're black and gay, you just be like, they're like, what?
Only if, but I wouldn't want it either.
Double tick. We get double tick. We'll take it. But I see the program, an American show, I can't remember, it's called My Family or something like that. And they were taking the mick out of that because to get in schools, if your child's Asian or gay or the parents are gay and Asian and all this sort of thing, you've got a way better chance of getting in a better school. So I guess it's the same in America too, right? They have them laws where they let certain amounts of gay people in, certain amount to meet these targets and stuff. It's kind of strange. But I don't like, obviously there's a reason they're doing it. And I do believe it's probably out of goodness, but they're just trying to fix a broken system, aren't they? You know, like capitalism is never going to be bent.
They're not trying.
Well, it's a pretense then, isn't it? You know, but sure, I do feel like some people really do mean well, you know.
Yeah,
they're stuck in the box of capitalism. They can't break free of it because obviously the cognitive dissonance, they've got their mortgage, their house, and all these sort of things that are stopping them from breaking through, you know.
Yeah, there is this quote you probably heard of. It says, I don't remember exactly what it said, but it says like, good intentions, like something like, from every good intention, like something bad will happen.
Yeah, I know this thing you're
something
saying.
Like that.
I can't remember it.
Yeah. Example, back in the 1800, probably even in England and in Europe, where
behind everything was good intentions or something, isn't it? Behind everything was a good intention. I can't remember. I know what you're talking about there.
So they used to burn women for just looking pretty. And that was a good intention because as witches and bad things will happen. Yeah. And they murdered so many. I don't believe in witches, all this bull crap. It's like they kill so many people. That was good intention. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's how this will, basically, this is why I could literally talk about anything, and bring it. We could always end up, if we ask why enough, if we can think of anything bad in this world right now, apart from the only one thing is like basically paedophilia. But maybe we could even take that back to the psychology and damage that this our society, the way we've been, has done to us, that created them type of beings. You know, you could even take that back. But most things could be improved or non-existent problem if we didn't have money, if we had a resource-based economy.
Mm. I detach myself from the outcome. I enjoy the process. Although I do write questions, I just let the chat roll, however it's going to roll. Yeah. But my second thing is not a question, but I wanted to say, why are you so cool?
Why am I so cool?
I like your vibe.
Oh, bro. I smoke weed.
Are you always like that?
I smoke weed all day.
Well, I'm sure you're cool without the weed, aren't you?
Pardon?
I'm sure you're cool even when you don't smoke weed.
I don't know. What does cool mean, though? That's an American term, isn't it?
Right.
Like, everyone wants to be cool. Obviously, I enjoyed that. My arms went back. I was like, I'm cool, man.
I guess for me, when I'm thinking of cool is that you'll talk about things and you don't... I'm not pretending that I know you personally, but I feel like you'll talk about things and you're not going to take it so personally that you're going to have a World War III.
I basically don't give a fuck. That's what I think. That's what being cool is, isn't it? So they don't really care. Like, that's what really cool is. It's not like I have got sunglasses and I wear a cowboy hat sometimes. It's not because I'm trying to be cool. It's literally because I don't care, because the sun's in my eyes and cowboy hats are really great for keeping the sun off my bald head and the sun out of my eyes and stuff.
Someone told me, because I was using that word, I don't remember exactly, but it's in my mind. He says, it's not that I don't care, I just don't let the outside world affect me.
Yeah. I'd be lying if I said I didn't let. I do care. I do. Everyone gets conscious. I think. And it's funny, if you see me, like, there's no fights on my YouTube. Actually, I need to speak. One of my, the only professional win I've got has been deleted off YouTube as well. And I, some parts of me think, because I asked the guy who uploaded that video before, I said, my video has been taken down. He's like, how? I've not been on that YouTube channel for years. Who would have done that? And I don't know. And he's like, oh, I'd put it back up for you. And then he put it back and it's gone again. Like, sometimes I think, who's doing this shit, man? Like,
maybe you can put it back yourself.
That's what I'm going to, next time I'm going to say, can you just send it to my channel? I'm going to get him to do
that. It's keywords. Do not use words that will tick off the social warriors. Like, yeah. don't use COVID, don't use Black Lives Matter, don't use white or black, because those things are keywords that's gonna trigger the algorithm or the people who's on their high horse.
It's hard though, isn't it? I know you can't don't say the F and the other letter that comes after it. No, five, sorry, five, isn't it? Five and then the other letter that comes after it. You can't say that. That's immediate bang. 5G, yeah. I've said it, but we're not live, are we? You have to cut it out. Damn it. They're on us now. We've triggered the algorithms.
It's crazy how after 1,000 years, we're back to censorship. Only this time they won't kill you physically, but they'll kill you emotionally, which will lead to basically murder because you might commit suicide. And if you cannot eat, and if you remember this lady called Rachel Dolezal, till this day, she's in the poor town because people see her name, they won't give her a job.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard of her.
I haven't.
She was a lady who said she was black and they said she was pretending to be black. So basically, if you can be a transgender, why can't you be transracial? And that's some bullshit. Like, you cannot be transracial. And the funny thing is, they had a study that black people don't even care. I'm not saying all of them, but most black people don't even care. Yeah. In the United States, I actually made a video about this on my podcast. In the United States, it's mostly white liberals, SJWs, who want to speak for black people to say what black people care about. And because black people are like, guilt. I didn't ask for this shit.
Yeah, because of white guilt though, isn't it? I think because they feel guilty, I believe, you know, it's their way of justifying, because they know it's true. That's the thing. They all fucking know it. All them ones that are out protesting, marching, they're the ones that perpetuate it the most.
You know, oh, my God. Yes.
In their daily life. And then there's somebody out there going, Black Lives Matter. But you're the cunt that, you know what I mean, wouldn't piss on a black person if they're on fire normally.
Yes.
You're out here
now
because you feel guilty. Like,
yes. Behave. Oh, I've
and
seen
all
you these
try and get them to address the real issues. Nah, what, take away my money and share it with the poor people for nothing? They've done nothing. I've worked 10 hours a day for this. My granddaddy worked for, he gave me this money, you know. they're like, yeah, nah, we're not sharing anything.
I made a video. I did make a video. It's not published yet because for some reason I tried to make it 5 times. I was getting technical difficulties and I was just like, you know what, maybe a spirit tell me to wait on it, so I'm waiting. But I'm planning to finish a video that says why I don't trust white people to support BLM. Because I've seen those types. They call me, well, some of them, they make fake things.
The thing is, can I say, sorry to interrupt, but I know there's a lot of this stuff going around. You know, we can look like, this is what I like to do. Like you said, you like to get to the crux of it as well. I feel like there's a danger. Yeah, I try not to make, I don't want to become someone that just produces content. Like, we could talk about, I can't remember how I described it, but when a forest is on fire, there's a great analogy. I won't be able to remember it. I'll try and describe it. But like, when a fireman are putting on fire, you don't, like a forest fire, the only way to put it out is, they call it fighting fire with fire, right? But some people misunderstand that term as fighting fire with fire, with like, if someone shoots you, you shoot them back. Now that's an eye for an eye, and leaves the whole world blind. Fighting fire with fire is a fireman's term for when they cut off the fuel of the flames. So they'll go ahead of the fire, burn some forest there, right? And then when the fire gets there, it's got nowhere else to burn. So it cuts off the fire, right? And the way I see what people are doing, and maybe like that in a little sense, I know it's still like I would go at you thing, but I feel like a lot of people can pick up on so many little issues, you know, and we're basically taking a shovel and going up to the giant forest fire and putting out a single bushfire, you know, while the fire is still encroaching. And unless we fight fire with fire and go and cut off the source of the fire and stop it from continuing, then it's only going to, the fire, little fire you put out, is only going to come around you and create more fires, you know? So that's why resource-based economy, that's why we always need to try and take every conversation, if we can, all the way back to system change and stop it at the source. Because these things are all products of the system. All this division, all these little things and that, the division, the crime, the poverty, these are all to the system. And now if we can always try our hardest to bring it back, I'm not saying don't make that video and point them things out and stuff, because obviously you can't just say the same thing all day long. Like, that's what I'm aware of as well. But I'm scared of becoming part of the problem, you know, just feeding into it and becoming part of the noise instead of becoming part of the solution. That's a danger. Like, that's why I go think about this a lot every day, actually, like, because there's a tough line to tread. How do you stop yourself becoming part of it? You know?
Yeah, that's a great question to ask. Yeah,
that's why I feel like we should always try and bring it back. Even if we do talk, like if you do say make that video, like I feel like it would be important to continue it on, like within the same video, and say how it could be changed and why that happens, and that resource-based economy could change that. You know, right. Like, and I think like if we all did that and everything. Like, I try to get, like, when people talk, everyone, like, say, I know people, everyone wants to moan about something, yeah? Or the pot roads, the roads and the holes in the road and all these sorts of things. And it's like, well, yeah, it's capitalism, isn't it? And they're like, well, it's like, why do you think it's pot? Like, we could change that. It doesn't have to be that way, you know? Right. Why are you moaning about that? Let's fix it, you know?
Yeah. Yes, certainly. I totally agree. I do know Sadhguru.
Yeah, Sadhguru, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Sadhguru,
I love him.
Yeah,
I love him.
Yes, yeah,
he's funny. He makes me laugh. I see them. He went to America not long ago, didn't he? Driving around on a motorbike. He was doing all like the American stuff, his sunglasses and that. I love it.
Yeah. So, and I totally believe it. As you mentioned, he often says, talk about things that you experience, and you've been mentioning that a lot. And so do I. Like, I may have an idea, but if I'm really passionate about the idea, I'll make sure I do and implement it myself, or I plan to. And so I do believe, in a sense, that if, as he mentions, people are so doing all this stuff with capitalism and all this stuff and division and labels and all this stuff, is because they're attached to the identity of the body or physical things. They're attached to it. But if we know that we are spirits, and as you mentioned, and you speak my language, like, I'm you and you're me, and we're the same person talking to each other. It's like God talking to God, like Jesus and God talking to himself and things like that. Yeah. And like fingers and arms and legs, but it's the same body. Once we know that, none of these other things will be an issue. That's when we will be in the Venus Project or whatever else it could be called.
What you just said then, these are the main, I have this, I still, and I basically, I still philosophize about this, contemplate it, not every day, but a lot. And I go from one thing to the other, but I've decided, like, basically it's both. We need both, yeah? Because what you're talking about, I agree with you, yeah? Because there's two fields of philosophy. The way I see it, there's two ideas, right? We could either connect to spirit, right? And find our oneness with each other, which would automatically let us see beyond the veil of capitalism, right? Which is true. But what I found after I had my breakthrough, that I got lost again. I got sucked back in, like sucked back into the facade of it, you know? And it's very easy because of the way our system is. And for a start, this is the main thing. Like, obviously you're right. Like, we all, like, that would help, but our system, our capitalism doesn't allow for them conditions for people to reach enlightenment. It actually physically and openly suppresses such things that would help that. Because obviously it wouldn't help the market and it wouldn't help money and stuff like that. So obviously I feel like they, like, I mean, I don't know which needs to come first. Like, maybe we'll never be able to have people enlightened because they're too trapped in the system. So the system needs to go first, then we can reach enlightenment. But, and then if we reach enlightenment first, then we could bring around the system, you know? Obviously it's probably
an egg thing.
Yeah, it's a bit like literally, basically like that, isn't it? And I think about this a lot. And I get the idea, and I basically we need to do both. I believe like we need to find spiritual enlightenment.
I think
and then we need to at the same time look into system change, because obviously if the system changes, more people would be able to think. I don't know which needs to go first. I don't know why I think about it. They both need to be done, I guess, you know.
Right. Well,
I feel like that's what I was gonna say. We can't do like one. It just can't be. So we can't all just find spiritual enlightenment, right? Because I had this saying, I did this post on Facebook, we can lead a horse to water, or why lead a horse to water? Yeah, show it how to drink, and then just to throw it back out into the desert. Because that's what I feel like we do. We could all find spiritual enlightenment, awakenment, and then we're just throwing each other back out there into the system, and they're just going to get lost and drown again in capitalism, you know, and their soul's going to get diminished again. We're all going to get divided again. So like we can save each other, but then we need to change the system. We can't just keep going back in. So we can't just have one or the other. Like, so we all do need to find that connection to oneness, but we have to change the system with it. Otherwise we're all just get disconnected again. Because yeah, I believe the system is what is driven the disconnect from nature. It's driven us away from basically just nature. That's what we're not connected to, really, nature. You know, mm-hmm. We see ourselves as separate and we're destroying the planet.
Right. Well, as you mentioned in that, my mind went back to the Philly video. Yeah. Think about it. Okay, so let's say if you're homeless, yeah, you're still part of the capitalist system because you're using it, but less than me and...